Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. We're broadcasting live from Los Angeles, California. Romans 5, 8 through 10 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we are now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." So the last verse says, "So if while we were his enemy, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." So as enemies, we were pulled into the resurrection circle of Christ. We were offered eternal life as blemished unbelievers. Now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So I think people who know that they're reconciled and saved are much more treasured their eternity because they know the depths of despair that they came from. Luke 5:32 says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, I'm just going to play a short intro, and then I'm going to try and see where John's at. Hopefully, he's still not on his bike in Santa Monica. Thank you. I was talking about Romans 5, 8 through 10, and I was playing David Archuleta about a song about Mary, and I'm waiting for John to call in. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we are now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. I'm almost done, Bob. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death of his son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Would you like to share a Christmas thought? Or a thought about this season?
Yeah, I was reminded earlier about the Christmas truce in World War One. Happened the first Christmas, December 1914, when the troops just decided along a stretch of the of no man's land that they weren't gonna shoot at each other. And the British troops and the German troops came out of the trenches and went into no man's land and played a game of soccer. And the following
and was that
day,
in
they did
France? Was that in France?
Oh, I don't know where the hostility lines were, either France or Belgium, one or the other.
That's pretty cool.
And it went on for a couple of days, and it was going further and further down the line, you know. And then the generals found out and said that anybody fraternizing with the enemy would be shot. And the Christmas truce came to an end.
But well, that's pretty heavy. We have another caller. We have a guest calling. I'm glad somebody's listening to our Christmas program. We have a caller from 941 area code. I'm just going to see if they want to talk.
Yes.
This is Jane, hello. Would you like to say something? You're on the air. Okay, if you want to call in, just push the one button, 941 area code, and you can talk. But right now you're on the air. So I think that's a cool story, Bob. You say a lot of good things in a historical context. What brought that story to your mind? It just popped in there?
No, I was watching KCET Channel 28 here in Los Angeles, and a group of Irish singers was singing a song talking about a Christmas truce at the beginning of World War One, and that reminded me about it.
Well, I hate to tribute every Christmas to the death of my daughter, but my daughter did die at 3 a.m. on Christmas Eve,
yes.
1992, and she went into surgery around midnight, and she died at 3 in the morning, and it hit my husband and I like a ton of bricks, because the doctors never prepared us for a loss. They just said that she's going in for a transplant, it's a 95% success rate, and
right.
Since she was only 2 years old, we didn't really think much of it, and we didn't really know what to expect, but about an hour before she died, they came and told us that the surgery was working poorly. But I just remembered
right.
It was about 15 below zero that night in Minneapolis, and I don't know, the next day, every single restaurant was closed, but like there was one Black Angus open, and my husband's brother drove up from Rochester, and we all went to eat at Black Angus because we had nowhere else to go.
Right.
It was just kind of a creep, bleaky day. I mean, it was. I think there was kind of like a whiteout. The freeways were empty. We felt restless. I didn't want to sit in my parents' house. I don't know. It was just not a good time. I mean, it was. We had to make the burial plans. And
yes.
But other Christmases for me have been pretty general. Is there any Christmas in your own life that stood out?
Oh,
Bob?
Several, but I don't really want to talk about.
Well, I've had some good Christmases. I lost my dad 4 years ago. My mom, I lost 8 days before my son was born. But, I mean, my parents were never that materialistic. We always got two or three things that we really wanted. But I wouldn't say
yeah.
that they didn't indulge us with Christmas gifts. We got about two or three things we really wanted. Back in those days, they didn't have eBay. We would order out of the Montgomery Ward and Sears catalog. But
same
this
here.
The thing for like the topic of the show tonight is Christ died for the scoffers, the atheists, and the haughty. So I was trying to reach out to the audience, and I also have some Jewish friends, and I dated a Muslim. I was trying to talk about other festivals that people have around Christmas. My Jewish friends celebrate Chanukah, and it's 8 days of presents and gifts. And my Muslim friends don't really celebrate anything this time of year, but they're always in a prayerful mode.
Well, actually, the Muslim calendar is not a 365-day calendar like ours is, you know. The Jewish calendar also is, when the calendar gets too far out of whack, they add an extra month, you know, to bring it more into line with the
really?
Solar calendar. That's why Hanukkah is always, you know, just before Christmas, or sometimes, or either a month before Christmas, or just before Christmas, or you know, just because the Jewish calendar roughly once every 3 years they add an extra month. You know, their calendar
Hanukkah, I remember it being around December 8th a lot, like, and then
yeah,
this year
yeah,
it was later, it was like December 15th
right.
or 18th.
Yes, that's right. Tomorrow's the last day. Well, no, it's today is the 24th. Okay, today is the last day of Hanukkah. Yeah, the 16th to the 24th this year.
One of my best friends. Oh, really? Uh-huh, go ahead. I was just going to say one of my best friends went to Israel this year. She hasn't been there in 23 years, and she finally went, and she wasn't really nervous about the tensions earlier in the year between the Palestinians, but she started out in Haifa, and then she went through the desert, and now she's in a town name that starts with an M. I can't remember.
All right.
It's a smaller city, but she's she got to go, and there's many aspects of the trip she enjoyed, and she got to see some cousins, but she was actually kind of mad at herself for not going for 23 years. But I do have a lot of Jewish friends. Some of them are more involved in their synagogue than others. Some are rather secular, but, you know, I do feel blessed because I'm back in Los Angeles and I get to hang around all my friends, and many of them are from different faiths. My Bangladesh friend is Islamic, and I've been to the mosque with her three or four times in the course of my life. And does this Christmas celebration bring any memories to you as far as, do you have any highlights of 2014 you want to bring up, or any breakthroughs that you have religiously? Achieve certain goals that you, in regards to your writing?
I'm getting close to, you know, to having that book, you know, printed and be available. That's true.
Well, within the scope of the Christian faith, you know, I feel like we're blessed every day because we have divine knowledge imparted to us.
And another blessing to me this year has been that my lady friend Kimberly has, things are happening in her life that, you know, are changing her attitude positive way, you know.
California's in her heart, and I know what you're saying, without saying anymore, that if she gets to the place where she wants to be, which is California with her loved ones, then she will be in a better place.
Yes. And to change the
I think we can be
bit,
thank mm-hmm.
Going back to what you said about, you know, the different Jewish, Christian and Muslim calendars, how they overlap or don't overlap. The Muslim calendar is every year has either 354 or 355 days. It's about 10 or 11 days short of the Christian calendar. So that in the course of takes about 30 years, it'll completely cycle through one of our calendars. So that every Muslim holiday, at one point or another, over a period of 30 years, will overlap with Christmas or be like a couple days away from it, you know. They use a different calendar.
I see. I'm looking it up right now. They have in 2015, they have about 10 holidays. And Ramadan starts June 18th. But then they have a lot of other. The Islamic New Year is October 15th, and the Day of Ashura is October 24th. I'm not sure what all the words mean, even though I have friends in that faith. I guess one thing I wanted to mention beyond the calendar is John is absent tonight, so I think he either got trapped at Best Buy because he was going to an all-night Best Buy after dog sitting, so I pray for his safety on the bike. But the second thing is, tomorrow is a holiday, but I'm thankful this year that our radio show is off the ground. This is about our 83rd show of the year, and we've been going full force since May, and Our top-rated show was about Tamar Rice, the boy who in Cleveland who was killed at age 12, and that got super high ratings. So I'm thankful that we, even if our ministry is small in scope, it's broad in insight, and we have you on the show, you know, like an Aramaic Bible scholar. I have a background in politics and religion, and John has a background in music and religion. So I feel like it's not just the show, but the radio show has strengthened our friendships and brought you and John closer, whereas it's possible that you two would have never even met had it not been for the radio show.
And that's true.
And I'm glad that you have a good, strong base in North Hollywood where you live, and it seems like your network of friends is getting more solid. So, but I don't really have, we only have 6 minutes of the show left, or about seven, and John hasn't chimed in yet. So I'm gonna do my conclusion. Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
No, you go ahead.
Well, okay. My belief system is such that I pretty much, you know, I work 6 days a week, sometimes seven, and I take time to reflect on the scripture when I'm home late at night after work, and I don't center my religious faith around holidays. I do have certain Christmas traditions that I follow, and one is gift giving. But I do have a sense of the immaterial world and where the substance of faith comes from. And it has to do with a cerebral mindset of being connected to God. And once you're connected to God and the Trinity of Christ, then you're kind of like escorted out of this world in the sense that spiritually fed through the Old and New Testament. And you don't really need the material world or the earthly goals that people promote, whether it's a good career or making a lot of money. And I find myself sustaining myself more through thought and inner dialogue with myself, and also through prayer. Now, prayer is one thing I could work on. My mind is more connected to God in a cerebral sense, but John prays for several hours at times, and I'm not disciplined like that. I'd rather study one chapter of scripture and then try to delve into its theological meaning. No, I guess that's the way I'm spiritually fed. Some people are more emotional and prayerful. I also try to guide my life so I'm attentive to my friends and people in my network, but I'm also like to be inclusive of strangers and other people that I run across who might need help. And since I've been in a support group for gamblers intervention for over a year almost, I come across all kinds of people. And one person was trying to refute the knowledge of God. He said, "I bring myself to this meeting. There's no spiritual hand in it. It's just me coming to the meeting." And my teacher allowed me to do a marker board presentation where I talked about the immaterial world versus the unconscious world, or I mean, what do you want to call it? Whatever it is, the unseen world versus the seen world, the visual world. And I think I was able to convince that person that you can't just treat everything in life in a tangible manner, what you see, what you hear, and what you feel, that there's more to it. So I'm glad for those opportunities where I'm able to witness to people about the ultimate meaning that Christ is our only Savior. He's the only one who can make us whole or make us feel fulfilled. Because I learned something in group the other day. It said, what's within your reach you can control, but what's beyond your reach only God can control. And we were not formed by our own flesh. God formed our flesh, and we were made by God, and we can only even perceive knowledge through the external blessings of God. So I don't know, I just maybe I'm not clear in my message, but I try to explain to people that it's not all about the marginal flesh and blood existence and daily struggle that we have. There's more to it. Do you have any final thoughts?
Jane, I want to say, with your message, you're, you know, communicating with other people, if you're sincere, that's more important than how well constructed the, you know, the statement was. You know, people.
Well, I think people can see that.
Sincerity. Yes.
I mean, people can see if you're really sincere. No, the few times that the times where I have slipped up in my life and fell into some negative behavior patterns, then, of course, that's obvious too to the people in my everyday life. But we all have different sets of struggles. But we have to acknowledge them individually first. How about you? What are your final thoughts on the eve of Christmas Eve?
Earlier this evening on the evening news, it's mentioned about Christmas being celebrated in places like Hong Kong and Tokyo and some of the other cities in the Far Eastern countries that are not Christian, in countries that are Buddhist or Hindu or I don't care if the spread of the holiday if it spreads to these places, you know, as in the form of a big shopping day for your children and Santa Claus and all that, because along with that, you know, some people will begin to ask questions about, well, what does this holiday actually mean? You know, in the Christian part of the world, what is it that they're really celebrating? And this kind of, you know, of interest and inquiry by people, you know, I think is makes the shopping holiday valuable. You know, that it may lead to this kind of
so are you saying the Asian culture is curious as to why there's so much shopping this time of year?
No, I'm saying, I was just saying on the news, they said that Christmas has become a major celebration in a lot of big cities in the Far East, you know, cities that are not primarily Christian, you know. And I'm saying that I don't care whether the Christmas holiday is celebrated in Tokyo primarily as a shopping thing for Christmas, and, you know, then they put up Christmas, it showed, you know, showing, putting up Christmas trees and things for Santa Claus and the lights and decorations, you know. To me, that if that helps people in that part of the world decide to ask questions about what it is that Christians are actually celebrating. You know, who is this Jesus Christ whose birth is being celebrated? That makes the shopping holiday having done a good thing for many people. It may help to spread, you know, the awareness. Yeah, the message.
Thank you. I'm not necessarily opposed to the materialistic thrust, because I think it puts people in a bigger holiday spirit, buying presents for each other. But just if there's a lot of people who just do the gift giving and skip the church service. And then I have seen, especially, I'm in San Pedro this week, and I usually live in Minnesota. I've seen numerous lawns with lights and decorations, and especially the nativity scene. And out of all the decorations I see, the nativity scene's in 80% of the yards. So I would consider this a strong Christian area, the San Pedro, the city in California. No, I don't care if people are secular or religious, but it is nice to see the symbolism of Christ and his birth as a real thing, not just a passing decoration. So with that, we only have 2 minutes of the show yet. Do you have any other final thoughts?
No, no, that's it. I'm gonna bow out now.
Okay, well, Merry Christmas,
you.
And
thank
I'm
you.
Playing
Merry
a David Archuleta.
To you,
Merry
Jane,
Christmas
and to John, wherever he is.
Okay. I'll make sure he listens to the archive. Thank you for listening, the Southern Florida number, and I'm going to be playing David Archuleta. Thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Merry Christmas, Bob.
So many boys, they are sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby Lord has come to make you new? This child of children deliver, will soon deliver you. And did you know, so many boys, that you was dying. Mary, did you know so many folk would come a storm that didn't? Did you know that your baby boy has walked the range of trust? As you kiss your little baby, you kiss the Son of God.
Good night, you all. Thank you for listening. I hope you find the source of light within your heart and soul. I feel the power of God in the universe. I hope you can feel it too in these times that are troubling, but you can shed light on every situation that the news casts upon us and that casts upon our soul. May you be blessed this season and know the light within you.